You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
This week, we're here for a third and final film of the tabletop series, the infamous slash maybe famous Battleship
Royale.
No. What?
Battleship Royale.
That would be a better movie.
We can't jump right into the sequel, but we'll come back to Battleship Royale.
There's going to be a sequel because, believe it or not, this film did have an after credit sequence.
Yes,
unfortunately.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
We'll come back to Battleship Royale because I like that construction for a sequel, and I think that gives us a lot of groundwork.
Oh yeah, I've already got ideas.
Speaking of Battleship Royale, Andre.
Mm-hmm.
B2.
Hit.
Yes.
So we moved forward with Battleship. I mean, like, there's only so many board game films. So we can only do so much. And we kind of did all three films that we're aware of right now. We know other films are probably coming out. I think there was one recently that was, like, optioned for a movie. So, Battleship, we went pretty straightforward.
Shots, just like the movie.
Yeah, exactly like the movie. Shots are a big thing in this film and in the game.
Shots fired, shots landed.
You shot my battleship.
The aliens in the film had a very iconic artillery that they used.
Yes.
Where it literally landed in the ship exactly like the pegs in Battleship.
But smaller.
And it looked like the pegs.
It did look like the pegs.
Yeah. It was the best thing about the film.
Definitely intentional.
Yes.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. So I felt like shots as a theme ended up working really well despite us not even knowing that this was going to be a thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we also tried
really
to like...
We really pegged it.
It's fine.
I was going to say that we were also trying to keep it in relatively the red theme as well to like... pay homage to the original Battleship pieces as well. And so you can see that up at getmunchedup.com. We have our photos up that, more information about the food itself. And with that, let's jump quickly into drinking rolls and then we can open up to the film itself, which I can't tell if like we have a lot to talk about or we have like nothing to talk about. It could be one of those films where it goes either way. Every so often you come out of a film and you're like, "Woo, they kind of put everything out there and there's actually nothing to say about this film."
Because... I'm worried it's going to be that.
Yeah,
C3.
Hit.
One All for right. one out of both of you. So, the drinking rules for this film, we threw around a lot of different ideas. Ultimately, we landed on drink whenever someone says sir. Drink for...
When a ship gets hit.
Shot.
When a ship gets shot.
When a ship gets shot.
And the third one was drink when coordinates are on screen or coordinates are uttered, in which there's an entire sequence in this film that is devoted to the idea of Battleship in a way I did not expect from this film. And I'm glad they went there, but it was also a very boring sequence.
Yeah, it was surprising. Yeah, it was about as boring as Battleship is 20 minutes in. You're like, oh, God.
It started out fun, but then it just kept going.
Yeah, just like Battleship.
Like, they did it four distinct times, pretty much. I mean, there was five coordinates. Or were there four coordinates? Because there's one that was a miss, two was a miss, then three, the other ship started coming, and then they shot at both at the same time, so it was four.
Honestly, Ben, it's all a blur for me.
Yeah, you're not supposed to shoot twice in a row. You're supposed to alternate.
This game broke the rules.
It did.
This game's a rule breaker.
Yeah.
Also, I will say, in one of the early fight sequences, a ship gets shot many, many times in a row, so you're just going to want to have, like, a nice watered-down beer ready for that.
Yes. I mean, one thing you should know about Munch is we never really... The rules are more like guidelines anyways.
Mm-hmm. You can add some, you can go easy on yourself.
Yeah, so, like, try to follow the idea of it and... in the idea that you are there to have a good time, but don't follow it to a T. Otherwise, this could
you're be in trouble.
Like, we have very dangerous rules. If you've ever tried one of our drinking rules.
Well, we don't know the rule until... We don't know how well it's going to... Usually, they're movies we haven't seen. And so, we're just kind of making up rules. And we have a lot of hits and a lot of misses.
Hey, Andre.
Yeah?
C3?
Miss.
So, one thing I do want to talk about in this film specifically... is largely the main character, who honestly I don't remember. Holden? It's not Holden.
No, it's Hopper. Same guy, yes. You know how I could remember?
Stranger Things.
And is Hopper his first name?
Last name.
What's his first name?
He doesn't have one.
Okay.
Just Hopper.
Because I know the Alexander Skarsgård character is Stone Hopper.
Which... His name was Stone?
Oh, like in the water, you skip stones and he swims in the water on the boat.
Symbolism.
Yeah.
His body skipped across the water when it was destroyed.
And his abs are rock hard.
You never saw his abs in this movie.
Which you saw honestly Hopper's abs. Was a mistake on the movie's part.
Okay. You just know that he has rock hard abs.
Well, it's Alexander Skarsgård.
All right. What other mistakes did this movie make? This is a sequence. We are building out a sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Not enough of Alexander Skarsgård's abs. That's a clear mistake. That's a major mistake.
Okay, there was a scene where Rihanna was, like, humming a song, and they should have just broken out into musical at that point. They had Rihanna. Like, why not?
What was the song?
When she... Oh, I don't know. She was singing it,
just a song.
Like, you got Rihanna, just
literally,
sing.
That's what
you
she
know
was
you can sing.
She was, like, holding a gun on a dinghy and just humming to herself, and we were all just waiting for her to, like, I don't know.
Anything.
Break out.
Especially because she started singing, and I thought, like, B3? I thought, like, okay, this is going to break out into song and it's going to be cool, but no, not that kind of movie.
It would have been great, like,
hit.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Like, you have Rihanna, of all things, and I actually don't think she did a single for this film, unlike she did one for Star Trek Beyond, but I don't think she did a single or a song for this film at all. So she was just purely in it for the acting. And
she did fine.
Exactly, she did fine. Like, the film was not interested in giving her anyone a lot to do.
Right.
With the exception of the main character.
Who? Okay. This is the other thing the film did wrong.
This is a mistake. A major mistake, I take it. If we're thinking of
this was my
mistake.
Biggest issue with the film. I don't know if that's true. This was a big issue I had with the film. So, the main character, Hopper.
Yes.
He's an idiot. He's an asshole. And, like, he clearly has anger management issues. So...
He also... can't, like, read a room either. Like...
completely socially inept.
Yeah, and like, hey, you know, like, a girl
impulse
is not...
control issues as well, I would say.
Control issues for sure, mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, like, I don't know about you two, but to me, like, someone getting, like, breaking into a person of color's, place of business to steal... and cause a lot of damage, but steal, well, all right, he paid for it, a chicken burrito to impress me, and then on the way back, run across a busy road and stop cars in the way, and then get tased 2 times to give me that burrito?
Mm-hmm.
That is, like, grounds for, like, either a restraining order or, like, I never want to see you again.
Yeah.
Like, that's a funny story you tell to your friends. Like,
but that's a level
at your bachelorette party when you're marrying someone else.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like you like, can't
oh
believe
my
that
gosh,
happened.
There was this one guy I dodged a shot here.
Or it comes up on like never have I ever had someone stalk me to give me a chicken burrito. Like that's where that it's not a cute love story.
No, and this film starts this out and then like there's this like smile that Brooklyn Decker gives when she finally receives this convenience store burrito, which I cannot imagine tastes great.
No.
And it's just like, why, like, reward that behavior for one? Why is that okay for him? And, like, it only works that way because he is pretty much a white man, and, like, you change his race in that scenario, and the ending probably is very different, unfortunately.
They never even show him, like, getting reprimanded. Like, there's no court scene. No, he doesn't go to jail. He joins the Navy, and then everything's fine.
Alexander Skarsgård gives him a firm lecture, and he says, what's the quote? It's time for...
He says two different things. It's like, it's time for listening, and I'm talking. It's time for doing, and... I'm directing, or something like
it's
that.
It's time for a game change. You're joining the Navy.
No, that's right. He says it's...
I'm pulling it up.
I wrote it down.
The internet's going real slow here.
But what... Okay. Two things. I was going to say something about the main character and how that was my least favorite part of the film, but now I have to talk about something else because we brought
up
the
new direction. Right, a game change. You're joining me in Navy. Is what I wrote in that. I don't think that's...
I think it's in the Navy. Navy.
I like, you're joining me in Navy.
And then they don't, like, tell you how much time passed, but
they didn't
age at all. And then he became second in command in that amount of time.
Right, because they also had the text across the screen, so that's a thing that they use, but they chose not to use it to tell us how much time had passed, which was confusing.
It's like major issues there. And then, like, also he cuts his hair.
Miss.
And
I thought he looked better with short hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on the long hair game.
Sorry, there were two things I wanted to say.
Yes.
The first one is, when Brooklyn Deckard comes into the bar initially and asks for the chicken burrito, and the bartender says, sorry, the kitchen's closed, and he closes the microwave.
Mm-hmm. Like, do they just have...
That's what he calls
convenience store burritos there, and they don't actually have a kitchen? Like, was he just being a jerk?
So that's what I need to figure out, because I'm confused why she shows up at this bar and just, like, really needs a chicken burrito from this bartender's microwave.
Well, did we see her walk into the bar, or was she already in the bar and is now, like,
I think she
after some
in.
Drinks?
She walked in.
Specifically for a burrito?
She walked in, yes.
Have you ever gone to a bar for food?
Yeah.
Just food.
In,
like, a bar like the type they were in, which is
definitely
Mount Divey.
No, because that's not a bar where I would expect to get food.
Yeah,
but yet
fair.
She walked in, and they were kind of out on, like, not in a city, but just, like, out in the...
That was like a local spot.
Hawaiian
bar.
Woods?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a local spot.
So she drove up there, asked for a chicken burrito.
Could have gone to the convenience store across the street.
Mm-hmm. The whole premise is just... There's a lot of
holes. Beginning of the movie was really, really rough.
Like, how long did it take you for you to, like... And I'm going to put heavy quotes on this, but get on board with this film. Because I don't
board
think...
Board the ship?
Yeah, I like that. When the alien showed up and the force field came out,
that was when you
that were... That was it. Then I was like, okay, we're playing Battleship now. We're, like, trapped
like there's
in
a
this,
clear
yeah,
grid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the board game is set.
Yes.
I was on board when they started when they started making it feel more like the game.
Because that's what this movie puts itself out to be, is a war movie, like Battle LA. And that's when it started doing that. The first half an hour of the movie, they were trying to do this, like, rom-com thing, which they clearly are not good at, not why I signed up to watch Battleship. So I wasn't surprised that it was terrible.
Okay, but the other thing I wanted to say about the main character, Hopper, not Alexander Skarsgård, but the main character. Like I said, he has all these issues, and I remember, Ben, like, early on in the film, you were like, okay, I see the arc, I see where this movie is going, and I don't like it. And so I too also saw they were going to have this, like, redemption arc for him. And I never really felt like they proved that he managed his anger or got over his control issues or, like, balanced out his, you know what I mean? Like, he was
But he got good at Navy.
He was put in a crisis
he
situation.
He Navy real hard.
Yeah.
And he figured out how to deal with the crisis. But in real life, he's probably still has all of those problems.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's not even... He's the only character who got any character development And it wasn't even really character development.
No, he just got good at Navy.
He just got good at Navy.
He just got good at Navy.
He remembered what Art of War was all about.
Oh, God.
And what was the, like, the reasoning for him knowing that Homer quote?
I don't know.
There wasn't one.
Okay.
Well, he's obviously read Homer. He's read Art of War. Like everyone says about him. Like every character actually
comes out.
Yeah.
Like he just knows it when it's like appropriate for him to say something kind of smart.
Right. Well, what people say about him all the time is that he has a lot of wasted potential. Like it seems like he's a smart guy, but is wasting his potential by being dumb. A3?
You sunk my battleship.
I know I did.
Just there was a lot with him that they tried, like, I was never necessarily on his side. Like...
Oh, so you were on the alien side?
A little bit! If we want to be honest,
like... Yeah, actually, I'm with Ben on this one.
Oh, really?
Like, alright.
I'm
gonna call back to a single scene.
Go.
And it's that flashback scene in which the alien grabs...
I just realized they never talked about that again!
That's in Battleship Royale.
So, like, he grabs Hopper's head and then, like, these scenes
They look into their...
And there's a moment there and, like, how... And maybe I misunderstood the scenes and imagery that I was seeing in that flashback, but it seemed like the aliens were, like, being pushed away from their planet, or their planet was being destroyed, or something like that, and, like, they were actually there for survival and, like, to try and find something, and then they're just... That never comes up again, and... Maybe it's just like the human nature to when you see a humanoid character, you try to care for it in some way. Like.
They really made these aliens look human.
Very much like humans. Yes.
Even had human teeth.
They did, yeah.
And there was even a moment where we taught, like, we even vocalized it amongst each other, where it's like, the aliens are going to be the good guys in the end of this, or there was going to be like a splinter faction that fights off or something, and that never happens.
Yeah, there's no attempt to communicate with them at all. Well, that we saw. We were
following through. No, there was in that like scout ship, Hopper spoke on a megaphone and was like, hey, this is your last chance, and that was it.
No, he basically was like, hey, this is the Navy, and then like pause, and then he was like, we're boarding you.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
And then maybe they started the whole war.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, that's
pretty much it.
I guess they fired first because they did the EMP thing where they like, or I guess it was like a really loud blast that hurt everyone's eardrums and broke glass.
I think that there was a better movie in this that we didn't see.
Sure.
For example.
Okay.
I think there... Okay, the movie starts out with them just blasting a signal into space, where it's like, we found a planet that could have the potential for life, so let's just send them a signal. Which, like, I want to know more about who decided to send this signal. How was the Earth just okay with us blasting a signal into space? Like, hey,
right, because the general seemed very surprised that we did this. Yes. And I think he should know.
And also, I wonder... What did they say in that signal? Like, what was the message that they said? Like,
probably about that signal.
Their location.
Yeah.
The coordinates.
That signal.
Just the coordinates. Like, hey, it's Earth.
Yeah.
That signal shoots out into space in, like, a very aggressive fashion. So, like, a calm, joyful message is not on that beacon. It is, like... Death raining up towards some outer planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to know more.
It's a very aggressive beat.
I wish they could have spent at least like... Okay, this movie was 2 hours and 20 minutes.
11.
2 hours and 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. I feel like they could have spent...
131 minutes.
Like 20 minutes or so just exploring like what that signal was. Like just so that I know what exactly the aliens heard. Because I would like to know that.
Like what if we actually sent out a like unbeknownst to us, because we don't necessarily understand that race, like, what if they interpreted our message as, like, fighting words, and they were like...
Like, why did they even show up? Was it just because we saw that one brief moment where, like, Hopper looked into his eyes and saw a vision, which then they never talked about. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it would have been, were they after a resource? Because why were they contacting the home planet? Like, none of this stuff was answered.
No, unfortunately it wasn't.
There was a science fiction movie in here that could have been good, and they just chose to give us the threads and, like, no story out of it.
I hope when aliens finally visit Earth that...
A1?
Humanity... Miss. Is maybe a little smarter about it, or... Mm-hmm.
More Arrival than Battleship.
Yeah, like, we take the time to try and understand them, or if... Like, I understand there's probably a tipping point where it's like, alright, communication isn't possible at this moment, but, like, I would like to think we would try to exhaust most of our resources before we have to resort to violence.
So, okay, I thought about that. And I decided to give the movie a pass here. I had kind of the same chain of thoughts. But what the movie did, which I think was very intentional, is they put a bubble around the action where they had three alien spaceships and they had three military spaceships, or ships, water ships. and basically, battleships, if you will. Basically, they had to, the people in that bubble had to make a decision about how they were going to deal with it. They didn't have scientists. They didn't have negotiators. They, I mean, couldn't communicate with anyone outside of the bubble. They just had to deal with it, and they dealt with it as they
knew how, because they're military.
And yeah.
This film is probably funded by the military, and the idea that we need new recruits to join the military itself, as well as build an idea for, like, deifying the idea of veterans, ultimately, without this idea of a government interacting in this at all. It's, like, entirely this idea of just, like, how young men, typically men, sure, there were a couple women.
There was Rihanna.
There's another...
No.
You saw, like, single shots of women on the ship.
Right.
Rihanna and the
cook.
Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah.
Were the only women, the only, like, female named characters, I'm pretty sure, in the whole film. Correct.
There were, like, establishing shots with other women.
With other women, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
And...
In a sea of white men.
Yeah. And this film goes so far to, like, push this idea that, like, you start as a kind of unrefined resource, and then you're molded into this, like, perfect being that 30 to 40 years down the line can just pick up the exact same reins of being a military and ultimately do better than the young recruits in an older technology ship. And there's this weird, I understand that, projection of what they want their recruits to look like, and that idea of, like, hey, there's actually a benefit at the end of this, like, you are a committed person in society and people will look up to you and you can establish yourself as a person of note through military action, and this isn't to say that those that have fought in wars that are ultimately just and important in the past. But this film also has this, like, weird idea that, like, new technology isn't going to save us. And it's also this old technology that is better. And I'm, like, I'm both uncomfortable about how they present this idea of military and war, while also, positing this idea that, like, in this case, here is a war that is untouched by politics, and
it was just like firepower, like, just like, we have to get the biggest guns, the biggest
and explosions. That's a simplistic way to think about it, when actually war is extremely political, and you are never, and as military soldiers, you have to accept an order and a chain of command, but ultimately it is politics that dictate what is happening, and you have to kind of go through with that order typically, and that order may not often be good, especially in our current military
state. I think that's why they focus. I mean, they obviously did not want to tackle that in Battleship. So I think that's why they do things in like Battleship and Battle LA, where they're like, we're just going to do something. We're just going to cut all of that out and focus on the squad. They're going to be cut off by
communication. Yeah, they pick a very small scale. Yeah, like in Battle LA, it was like one squad. In this film, they put a bubble around Hawaii so that it was just Hawaii.
Yeah. But the going thing back is, to military is ultimately inherently political. Yeah. So like they want this idea that is untouched by politics, but like the Navy, the Army, the Marines, mm-hmm. they're inherently like a military complex and thus political, whether they want it or not.
Right.
And they like this idea of being untouched, while in reality they are very much political beings and actors in
the larger war. Yeah, I see what you're kind of
in a lot of ways. I mean, the president is the commander in chief. Like, it's inherently political.
Mm-hmm.
This film reminded me a lot of Three Body Problem.
Yeah, it did. A little less nuanced, obviously.
Yeah, like, you haven't read it, right?
No.
Yeah, it's it made me appreciate Three Body Problem because the author does a much better job of like exploring that politics and like exploring if politics were like even more deeply embedded in military. And that is a very good book that deals with aliens in a completely different way. And
it's, well, spoiler here for like the first, I don't know, third of the book. Basically what happens is Three Body Problem.
The first one?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Three Body Problem.
Yeah, I know, but it's like also a okay. I don't know, just checking.
So they, just like in Battleship, someone sends a signal out to outer space saying, hey, we're Earth, this is where we are. And aliens head there, obviously without like the intent to be, it's unclear what their intent is, but you're concerned that it's malicious.
Now you know what their intent is.
In the first third of the book, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
Because of the nature of the message, which again is something I wish they would have told us. Like, what did we send to those aliens? What did they hear? We'll never know.
Who knows?
Unless they cover it in Battleship Royale.
It was just a lot of fluff to get them to what they wanted the movie to be, which was ships firing at alien CGI ships. Yeah. Which is, like, it's fine. That's what this movie was trying to be, and it did it.
Yeah. It just unfortunately came along with a lot of naval baggage that they went out of their way to promote and glorify at times.
Yeah, sure.
And it's also wrapped up in, like, what is a lot of horrible lines that was tried to deliver seriously by actors. And
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of missteps in this
Speaking
film,
of actors. Speaking yes. of actors. I wrote down a question for myself, a reflection.
Okay.
I wrote, why was Rihanna in this film? Was this her idea? Did she get what she wanted out of it?
Well, I think A4, first of all. Yes. I think Rihanna was approached to do this movie. I don't think she went out there and asked. Well, no.
I do think Rihanna has wanted to be an actress. Like, that is the next step of her...
Yes, yes. But do you think... I guess what Leanna's asking is, like, did she read the script for Battleship and say, I want the part of...
No.
Okay. You think they reached out to Rihanna and they said, we want you to do... We know you want... You have an agent. You've been looking for roles.
Yeah, like, I feel like it started a lot more casually and just, like, over conversation. Like, an agent heard through the grapevine that Battleship was happening. Battleship heard that Rihanna was interested in the role. They reached out. Schedules kind of worked out. Or they were able to work around Rihanna's schedule. And then, ultimately, this is the film that happened. And I imagine that this actually wasn't, like... I imagine this actually wasn't the greatest experience for Rihanna, because Rihanna then, it doesn't really...
She hasn't done anything, right?
Until, like, did she appear in a episode of American Horror Story or something like that? And then she was in Valerian this year.
Oh, right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought she was in something else a little bit bigger that was coming out. I think
she's coming out in Ocean's 8.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one I was thinking of.
But if she was in Valerian, which came out this year, and Battleship came out in, like...
2012?
Yeah, so she took a... she needed a palate cleanser.
She was in Home in 2015. She was as a voice actor, so that's kind of an acting role.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably... you need to get some experience. You don't get to pick what you want right now because you haven't been in any movies. This is a summer blockbuster. People are going to see it. You have a decent amount of screen time for someone who has no acting experience.
And she was good in it. So maybe for her, going back to one of...
I'm going to say she's okay.
But going back to my original... Well, she was good enough that for a moment there... What?
Oh, just Ben has an ad for The Greatest Showman on his
That movie computer. Looks so bad. It looks
so bad.
We saw a trailer for it today.
It's about, like,
P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, P.T. Barnum.
Yeah. I heard some of the music's bad, but is good. Like, there's some aspects of it that's good, but ultimately it doesn't get into some of the actual darker aspects of P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, like, he can't possibly be a good guy. Like, he started a circus with, like, animals that don't belong in a circus.
But that's not what they were focusing on. No. That wasn't the angle they were
focusing on his good guy nature.
Yeah, and how he's
just
making...
Just like this film.
Yeah. I'm focusing on C1.
That's... Probably not the best place to focus on.
So this wasn't the greatest film for Rihanna. I don't think it used her talents well, and I don't think, like, her role was basically to comment on what was happening in the film, and the writing wasn't good enough in this film to ultimately benefit her enough, and I don't think she was comfortable on set here to ultimately be herself. And I'm specifically comparing this, to her role in Valerian, which she was downright incredible in Valerian. I was, like, pulled in, loved her character, and it was actually one of my favorite things about Valerian. And so to see how good she can be there shows how little they used her in Battleship.
Or maybe Battleship was great practice for her.
Maybe it was.
So it was a stepping stone for her.
I'm going to say it was definitely good practice. Yeah. I'm not going to say it was great practice.
Yeah.
I don't think Battleship deserves the tag of great.
It was good.
It was good.
It was good.
Good.
It was good. It was good. But you should at least see, like, now that Valerian's out on demand, you should at least see Valerian just to watch Rihanna.
Sure.
It's an easy enough watch as well. We mentioned earlier in this podcast Battleship Royale.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it.
So I think this, like, we enjoy coming up with unneeded sequels for Hollywood that we'll pitch to Hollywood executives the next party we see them at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our next one that we need to hash out is Battleship Royale, and we need to do this together. And I imagine... Just based off the name alone, it takes some inspiration from Battle Royale.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Andre, the name of this was your idea. So, clearly, you have a starting point in which you want to kick us off.
Oh, no. I have the middle point.
You have the middle point. Okay.
The starting point, as we know from the end credit sequence, is there's still an alien left in Scotland. We know since the title is...
It was Northern Ireland.
Oh, Northern Ireland. Okay. Actually, yeah, that changes things. We also know,
would not have expected
we also
that
know
one,
the title is Battleship Royale. So there is going to be a battle royale. So I think the middle of the movie is a bunch of battleships in battle and only one can survive. There's no alliances except for alliances that, like, people make with other battleships. But there's not, like, this side and that side. It's a free for all.
Okay.
That's
like
what a battleship
that idea. I was thinking it was more a battle royale on a battleship.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, basically, and we can choose a direction once I, like, posit this idea. And, Leanna, if you have any, like, intro or idea directions, like, feel free to spit them out. But, like, my idea is that, like, all communication goes dark in a certain area.
Well, that's a given.
And ultimately, a bunch of different aliens kind of drop on ships. The thing is, all the aliens aren't on the same side. And this also happens in the middle of a actual war.
Wait. So their signal, when they sent it up, other aliens heard it too.
Yeah, like, there's, like, multiple aliens, like, multiple wars converging in a single zone. And a lot of these aliens don't have, like, full ships. They are more interested in this idea of, like, hand-to-hand combat and, like, sending down a juggernaut of sorts to kind of, like, devastate and then, like, open up communication channels. So I like this idea of, like, the close quarters of a battleship and then having this battle royale fashion tournament start on a battleship and having to deal with those close quarters, and the people on the naval ships ultimately have the upper hand because they understand the layout of the ship itself, but they don't have the firepower of the aliens.
Here's what I'm thinking. It's not an either or.
It's both.
It starts as their battleship royale on the ship. Someone wins it starts the battle. I mean, that's the first part. What if someone wins that battle? They take control of the ship.
Yeah.
There's been battles going on other ships.
Yeah, like, that's the idea. You think it's happening on a single ship.
Yeah.
But halfway through the film,
yeah,
the reveal is the person who wins gets to control that battleship.
Yeah. And then already, someone says, out of the frying pan, into the fire.
Who delivers that line? Is it the person who wins the ship, or is there, like, a third party that is just watching?
I think it's, unfold? Like, the buddy of the person who, like, really was the winner of the battle.
Are any of the characters from Battleship in Battleship Royale?
Yeah, the three Northern Irish boys at the end.
Wait, are they the same age?
What is their role?
I think they're all grown up. I don't know.
What is their role? I do actually like that idea that they're all grown up, and then they all enter into the military, and then it's like those three kind of banding together to try to overcome. Like, they are complete mess-ups in every sense of the word. And it ends up being more of a humorous thing. Like, you don't expect them to win, and they don't actually win because they don't actually... Like, by sheer luck, they make it to a certain place. And I think we need to figure out what their, like, ultimate arc is from beginning to end. Because I can't imagine they're like given the same award ceremony that Hopper was given.
No, I think that they were turned at a young age by the alien they discovered.
Ooh.
And so maybe they win, and then they're, you see, like, flashback to when they were younger, like, and they met the alien, and you're like, oh, they're the kids from the end credit sequence.
Like, were they mind controlled, and thus they're actually not on the human side? And so, like,
you've been
fighting for them this entire film, and then the reveal is that they're actually bad, or they're mind controlled. And so it's this give and pull of, like, you want to see them survive because they didn't have a full childhood and teenage life. Mm-hmm. You want them to experience that, but ultimately they're also under the control of aliens somewhere else. So, like, you don't want them to completely succeed.
Yeah.
I can also see this being campy in the style of, like, Hot Fuzz with, like, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg.
Like, pretty over the top.
Yeah, because the guy who, like, helped them, like, dig out the alien, we thought he looked a lot like Nick Frost. It wasn't actually him. But that makes me think that there could be a comical take on this whole thing, which also could be a good way of dealing with it. Like, if they're not going to do the science fiction, hard science fiction part of it justice, they should just have fun with the premise and do that.
Yeah, and D2?
I feel like that ultimately serves the original property better.
Slip shot?
I can't say no. It's a celeb shot.
Are we ever going to explain this?
I think that, I mean, with
Celestia. They know.
Yeah.
Do they?
Oh, they for sure know. I think they think
we're playing Battleship, but we're playing Battle Shots.
Okay, that's
a That's all you need to say.
Yeah, yeah. They've been taking Jello shots this entire time. I think it ultimately serves the idea of play and fun better if the end result is something humorous and fun. And I think actually humorous is key here because Battleship itself was not funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a couple moments where it was like, was that supposed to be a joke?
Yeah.
Especially.
It probably was.
Looking back on our tabletop series, Clue definitely was based in humor.
And the best one.
And the best tabletop film I think we watched. I think we can all agree.
Jumanji also tried to write.
Jumanji did also try to be funny, and I think, though it also struggled, succeeded more than Battleship did.
Okay, so is that a ranking for board game films?
I think it is for me.
Are you?
I don't know. Number one for sure.
I don't know if I like Battleship or Jumanji more.
See, Jumanji.
Jumanji was more painful.
Here's the other thing.
There
though.
Were some tough moments in Jumanji.
Jumanji had those CGI monkeys, though.
Which was always a delight.
Which were so terrifying in the best way. It was clear that they had also spent a lot of money on that film on CGI, and what they got was those monkeys.
Here's the thing. I had higher hope. I had really low expectations for Battleship, and it exceeded them.
Okay.
And I had pretty high hopes for Jumanji because I remembered liking it, and I like Robin Williams, and he was in it, but they neither were as good as I remembered.
B4?
Miss.
You seemed very unsure about that.
Yeah.
I think he's moving them around.
I'm not moving them around.
You can Andre see the cheater. You know, I mean,
that's something they did do in Battleship that isn't allowed. Is they move their boats a lot?
They did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except, well, yeah. Even the aliens move their ships.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of cheating.
At the beginning, they were staying in place for a while, but then it was like you can see each other. That's not really like Battleship either.
What if you could not shoot at the other enemy, but have the opportunity to move your ship?
I like that. That's interesting.
Like,
if it hasn't taken a hit.
Yeah.
If it's taken a hit, I mean, it's
you're
locked
stuck.
In. That's the whole point of the game, is like find something so you can. Yeah, I like that.
It could be interesting.
Because then if you're seeing, like, they have a pattern, you might be able to move it somewhere that might avoid...
Like they did in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, like if they're...
Go where your enemy isn't. Fight where your enemy isn't. Something like that. Art of War.
Art of War. I do like this idea that all of a sudden, Hopper just says Art of War with no
context.
Explanation. And it doesn't actually come back for like another 10 minutes.
Like, they could have shown him reading a book or something at some point because he quotes like two very famous novels.
Anything.
And, like,
I probably would have been a little more invested in his character if he had like this... like anger streak and was like a little over the top at times and full of bravado and too much machismo, but ultimately had this other side, softer side of him that was like a bookworm that was invested in it, and like that provides some of the story reasons for why he was able to succeed so far, because everything we see from him makes me think he would not have been able to make it in the Navy at all.
Alternatively.
Yeah.
You know who would have been just like a good person to have instead of Hopper?
Anyone else?
Just The Rock.
The Rock, okay.
Can you imagine?
The Rock would be good in this movie, but he couldn't be Hopper.
No, like forget Hopper.
Okay.
Just forget the storyline of this film.
Okay. Yeah, forget Hopper's storyline. Just the main character is The Rock.
And The Rock would totally do a film like this.
Yeah, he would. He would. It'd be the same movie, basically.
It would be, they would just play up teamwork more. They would play up believing in yourself more. They would play up physical feats more.
And there'd be no improvement arc, because he's always
peaking. No, he's always peaking.
He's always peaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always peaking.
Yeah.
It
probably would have been better.
It probably would have been better.
Probably, because Dwayne's a better actor than this guy, and he's legitimately funny at times when this man Hopper.
His one-liners would have actually been funny and fit probably in the context of this film better.
He also probably costs 15 times as much money.
Yeah, they spent too much. Well, that's what we were talking about, was like they could only afford TV actors for this movie because they spent all their money on the CGI.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, back to originally we were talking about this series as a whole because we're kind of closing it out.
Oh yeah, we were ranking them.
Yeah.
So mine, I think mine might actually be, Clue, Battleship, Jumanji. I think.
I would be with you with a few caveats.
Okay, go for it. Hit me.
The entire like hiking sequence with Brooklyn Decker and the army personnel and the science dude who I don't know his name because he was not.
Did important. He have a name?
Maybe cut that entire sequence and then like give us 30 minutes of this film back.
Yeah.
And then like change out one of the other roles for another woman and drop the romance option and. Or just like give me the middle 30 minutes of this film and like. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'll at least enjoy it more than I did this film.
Yeah, that's like Battle LA.
Because it's like so ridiculous and over the top, and like the CGI is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That like...
There's some great waterworks in that movie. Just some big splashes.
Their water tech was top notch.
Actually, some of the shots on the ships were pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Like the CGI was well done. Because they spent a lot of money on it, probably. Yeah.
What's your ranking?
It's... Gotta be Clue, Jumanji, Battleship.
Okay. Okay. What put Jumanji over the, what made it pass up
the
Battleship?
It's the monkeys.
Like, it's the monkeys.
It's for sure the monkeys. Yeah. And also just, I this is unfair to Battleship, but I don't really care about being fair to this film, but my mom, just memories of watching Jumanji with my mom and her rewinding.
The nostalgia factor.
Rewinding the film multiple times to see the police officer yell, "Fine, take it," at the jungle. Like,
such a good line. It's, classic.
It's really funny when you know my mom. So yeah. I have to give it to Jumanji.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
That's fair.
Is that my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, D4?
There is a large gulf between Clue... and the rest of the films. And I think that's ultimately what we want to say. Like, we've known that video games have the same problem in that, like, video game movies haven't been great movies so far. And I think we're comfortable saying that board game films kind of have the same issue.
D2.
Miss. Yeah, I think that's true. It's almost like if you're going to make something based off something else, the something else should have a plot.
Andre, that's not possible.
What do you mean?
How do you have one that's three in a row?
Oh, did you say, you said D2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You, I do have one that's three in a row. We're pretty much done, right?
I see it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Any other final thoughts on, like, tabletop series, Battleship?
I'm ready to play some board games. We've watched a lot of board game movies, and you know what's better than any board game movie is playing pretty much any board game. Maybe not Lightbreak.
Hey, at least that's our plan for
Thursday. Mm-hmm.
That'll be nice. But we do need to play some games.
We do.
I'm missing some games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to purchase that Clank.
Clank in Space.
In Space, but, like...
We have so many other games we got to play.
So many other games.
And not enough
but
time.
But I like the idea of
Clank. Like, Pandemic Legacy 2. And that's going to take, like, 6 months of, like, playing every other week to beat. So...
Yeah. Oh, board games. So good.
Yeah.
Real good board games.
Yeah, I like board games.
You know what else is great?
What?
Higher education. Which Liana is working
on. Yes,
yes. Which is why we can't play board games, but Liana's the only one really kind of going after it, where Andre and I are. We're just sitting chilling back and having a good time.
Yep.
Liana's working her ass off.
One of these days, I'm going to make the big bucks and just buy us all the board games.
So many board games. More board games than we have time to play.
That's why I'm going to school.
Yeah.
For those board
games. The board game money.
Yeah, the board game money.
That big board game money.
That's what they talk about. Like in the career planning seminars, they always talk about like...
The number of board games? Is it like... The number, like, the salary range is determined on how many board games you can buy?
Yeah, it's, like, it's part of negotiations when you're, like, negotiating your salary. It's, like, you need to know, like, what your BATNA, like, your best alternative. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's how many board games you already own.
Okay.
And so they have to be able to offer you more than that. So you have to, like, go in and, like, count your board games and, like, know the quality of them, too. Because if they're offering you crap, like...
Candyland,
Monopoly,
Life.
Yeah.
Life.
I mean, there's a lot
I'm
of
already,
money in life.
I'm already playing
Not life, all board know? Games are created equal.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, like, know what you're getting into and know what you want to ask for.
So, how many Catans would you ask for?
What?
Like, we're just talking Catans.
But I already own all the Catans. So, that's what, like, I'm going to be hard to get.
Yeah.
You know?
You are.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that angle, hey, if you already have a good board game library, that makes it extra tough to
list. It does.
Ooh. And it's going to get harder and harder as your career goes on, because you're going to have more and more games.
I know. That's how it works in the business world.
Yeah.
When you're doing business.
So what board games have you set your sight on? What are those big board game goals?
Well, I'd like to close out... I mean, you know me. I'm a completionist. So I would like to close out all of the collections we've started. So I think we're missing a few Catan expansions, a few Dominion expansions. Like, yeah, I'd like to
definitely some Dominion
just close them out.
Mm-hmm. And some... I mean, Clank has an expansion.
As we mentioned.
Power Grid has an expansion we don't have.
I'd also like to get all the expansions for Carcassonne.
Oh, sure.
I love Carcassonne.
Sure. Yeah.
Love me some Carcassonne.
That is a great game, and I'd love to have... That would be... If someone could offer me the Carcassonne expansions, I'd be in.
Really, I just need the one with cathedrals, and I'm set, and give me a double board, and that is, like, perfection to me.
So...
Such a long game.
Like, business people who are hiring, like, that's what you need to offer Ben.
Yeah.
If you want it.
Hit me up.
Yeah.
If you got that double Carcassonne set with cathedrals and river...
Oh. I mean, you could always just go back to Paizo and get discounts.
You're not wrong. I mean, if Liana's making the big board games bucks, you know what goes well with big board game bucks is
big board game discounts. Yep.
That's like that 1-2 punch in the business world. Is. That's it what is. Everyone's looking for.
Yep.
So true.
So my path is set out for me.
Yeah.
I'm going back. BBD. I'm taking my talents back to Paizo.
Well, and then I think we just need you to work in beer, Andre.
So
the discounts, we'll have the games, and then we just need the sustenance.
Yes.
So.
That's okay. Good. Yeah. Sounds cool.
And I think that wraps.
Should we just rapid fire? Like finish
this
out?
No, that's boring. I won because you only got one hit and I got all except for one.
Wow. She knows where your ships are now.
I do.
Okay.
I know where one of them is.
No, we're not.
So that has been another episode of Munch. You can find our content at getmunchedup.com. We are also on Twitter, which is at getmunchedup. Getmunchedup for Instagram is just getmunchedup. You can find us on Facebook at Munch Blog. We are also on Pinterest. And we would also love it if you sent us an email asking us questions for advice. Thoughts about something, and you can find us at getmunchedup@gmail.com. And with that, Andre, what would you name your brewery?
I would name it
Bruce by Dre.
Bruce by Dre isn't bad.
There's Drew Brew though, which is an actual brewery, and
Bruce by Dre is instead of Beats by Dre, it's Bruce by Dre.
Yeah,
I like that. I like the logo and the entire branding.
Yeah.
It may be infringing, but you know, it's close enough.
Yeah.
It's just off enough that it's an A instead of a B.
How about the beer place?
What was your thought process?
Well, then you could say, hey, you want to meet me at the beer place?
Okay. What about the brew place?
Yeah. Brew place would work too.
Okay, Leanna, yeah. Do you have a brewery name?
How about something like Leanna's Cats and Hops? Or something
like that. Like a so there's like cat cafe.
It's a cat cafe with
beer. Oh my gosh, I like that idea. Nice. That sounds comfy.
Like I couldn't quite get the name where I wanted it, but it would be something about like
Kitty.
Like Purrs and Brews or something? I don't know.
We're close.
I gotta workshop it a bit. It's close. But like though. You see what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing's
Hops and Pets? I don't know.
We'll come back to it.
It is a cat cafe.
We'll brew cat... on it for another week.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And my brewery would probably be like Brews Clues.
Oh, Brews Clues. That's good. I like that.
So like for sure lots of dogs.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also lots of blue.
Yes.
That'd be so good.
Brews Clues.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good day.